starting a series this term on the cultural kingdom values that we have, the cultural values that we want to live from as a church family here. And I think it's appropriate that the first one of those kingdom cultural values that we want to unpack a little today is the culture of kingdom and presence. But the more I thought about it, I really felt like we'd got it wrong, because I actually feel like it needs to be presence and kingdom, because it's the presence of the king that brings the kingdom. So I've just changed our values. I hope that's right. Not significantly, but well, actually I do think it's significant, because it is the presence of the king who brings the kingdom with him. And Jesus came from heaven to earth and he brought his world with him. And everywhere he went, this world was impacted by his world, as he brought on earth as it is in heaven with him wherever he went. Now, I did a search of the New Testament on the words kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Do you know how many times that comes up? That's a really lot of... It's just so much of the message of the New Testament, so much of Jesus' message is kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom comes, you enter the kingdom can be taken away, the kingdom can be inherited. Like, you know, if you go through it, it's the most amazing kind of lot of information about, what even is the kingdom? And so I thought, my go-to when you're thinking about something that's sort of both simple and complex, but you really want to help people understand, is you go to the Bible Project. So thank you, Jesus, for Bible Project. We're actually going to be just looking at an overview of the good news of the kingdom, because it's just a way of helping us to understand what Jesus meant when he started to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And they can say it way better than I can in 5 minutes. So enjoy.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah.
The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls, and far out on the hills we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running and he's shouting, "Good news!" And Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news."
Beautiful feet?
Yes. The feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now, in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
Yeah, so when Christians say, "Do you believe the gospel?" they mean, "Do you believe the news?"
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, a powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal his servant. And he even calls Jesus his Lord, acknowledging that Jesus is his authority. Jesus praises this man for recognizing what no one else yet had, that not only was Jesus announcing God's kingdom, he was the king.
And so the word gets out that this Jewish man from Galilee is talking and acting like he's the king of Israel. He's appointing 12 disciples, which are an image of Israel's 12 tribes. He's healing people, forgiving people their sins.
And all of this so threatened Israel's leaders that they finally decide to have him killed. And Jesus let them.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to do if you're trying to become king.
That's right. But for Jesus, this is what had to happen. Jesus saw the sin and the devastation of his people Israel as just one small part of the entire human condition. How all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. And so how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
And the good news now is that Jesus has defeated death and that he reigns as king, that he's dealt with our sin and corruption himself, and that he's conquered it with his life and with his love.
And then Jesus sends his followers to go out and keep announcing this good news of the upside-down kingdom.
And to invite everyone to give their allegiance to him, the king who defeated death with his love.
The king who defeated death with his love. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That really, really is good news. And so it is the presence of the king that actually brings with him his reign, his rule, his kingdom. If we go back to our PowerPoint, thanks, Aaron. We've put it this way, actually just the one before, that whole idea of presence and kingdom, that God's inviting us to invade impossibilities as we partner with the Holy Spirit. Just the little explanation, I suppose, of what we understand by presence and kingdom. We're led by God's Spirit to invade impossibilities, just like Jesus does in bringing heaven to earth. And that's the invitation. As those who partner with the king, we get to partner with what he has in store for this world in the restoration of peace and justice, truth, righteousness, and his goodness. Well, we're going to be spending a little time in Luke chapter 11 today. If you have your Bibles, that's great. Otherwise, I've also got sections of Luke 11 on the screen. But I felt today needed to be intentionally different. Here's my message. One sheet. Because I didn't want to talk about God's presence. I wanted us to have the opportunity to be really intentional in experiencing and listening and leaning in to his presence. I'm going to invite us to start by putting our attention to Jesus, ourselves, just before we read the scriptures. And we're going to be asking Jesus what's on his heart, because he is here. He says wherever two or three meet, he's in our midst. And the beautiful worship that our worship team chose for us today was, I don't know if you realize, but it was just worship, making a place to intentionally lean in. It was the worship of the beloved to the lover, wasn't it? It was so beautiful, and it was just that intentional place of taking time to attend to his presence. And so we're just going to take a few moments. I might ask Sam to put on some music, just some background music if you can. If you're not, it's fine. But just for each of us to say, Jesus, you're here. What's on your heart? Let's take time to attend to him this morning. What a tragedy if we talked about his presence but didn't make time for him to actually listen to him. So let's just take time to listen to the presence of Jesus this morning for a few minutes. Jesus, what's on your heart? Open our ears. We want to know what's on your heart. Speak to any lie that we don't hear from you or that we can't hear from you. Tell that lie to go in Jesus' name, because your word says, Jesus, that your sheep hear your voice. This morning was, although I have a message, I felt like if God is doing something else, what he's doing is way more important than any message that I could bring. So if there is anyone here this morning who feels like there's something that they really believe Jesus is wanting to do, I'm going to just invite you to pop over and have a word to Brian. If that's all right, Brian's a prophet, the prophet in our house, and he just is a really faithful carrier of what God's doing. So I'm just going to make that offer open. If anybody who thinks, you know, look, we really need to be paying attention to this morning, then we'll just stop and do whatever God's doing. If anyone wants to be set free from anything, Brian's just saying to come out at the end of the service, because we will be praying. And I believe that there is breakthrough that God's wanting to bring with his presence this morning. All right. Is there anything that's really burning on anyone's heart and they have to say it? Because that's okay. Is that you, Brad? Yeah? Yeah, okay, cool. I trust you.
I don't like speaking a lot, so this must be God. Yeah, I just felt Jesus saying that the thing on his heart is your heart. The most important thing to him is your heart. That he knows your heart. He knows your deepest motivations. He knows your grief, your frustrations. He's got an x-ray of your heart. He knows the stuff that's holding you back, the stuff that's trapping you, that's tripping you. He knows the stuff that's bringing you life and joy and peace. He knows your heart. He loves your heart. He wants to change your heart, to have a heart like him that's upside down to this world. So I just believe that, yeah, Jesus wants to minister to your heart, just to bring you life and freedom and light, all the things that he created you to enjoy and all the things that you're going to enjoy in heaven, he wants you to enjoy now. He doesn't want you to wait. He wants you to be bursting, overflowing in your heart that no one else can see, that no one else knows, just you and him. I'm not sure what ministering to your heart requires, whether it's just a fanning the fire that's already burning in you, that's alive, whether it's getting rid of the darkness, the heaviness, the lies, the constraints, the limitations, the fears, the regrets, the anger. So we just ask you, Holy Spirit,
do your work.
What is it in my heart that needs to happen? Holy Spirit, you know my heart better than I do. I just present my heart to you right now. Just bless it. Free it. Enlarge it. Jesus died for your heart to be made whole. And anything that's not whole about your heart, he wants to change. Pray healing on the parts of our heart that are broken, that are sad, that are lost, that are confused, that are frustrated.
Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Help us. Help us to enjoy our hearts. And those motivations, Lord, that you give us motivations for life. And just those motivations that aren't of you, we just ask you to cleanse them, change them. Give us your motivation for what you hope for our lives to be, for the impact that you want us to have on the people around us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've done everything required for us to have our hearts the way you want us to be, but it's a transformation process. It won't happen in a second, but it will happen. And he wants to do something today.
Thanks, Brad. He does want to do something today.
Yeah.
Wendy, do you just want to share with Brian? Yep. Just pop over and share with Brian. Anyone else who wants to share anything with Brian? That's great. Yeah. We'll just go with the flow. Why not? Why not be different? Difference could. I think it's incredibly beautiful that... Oh, cool.
If you just close your eyes for a moment, because I really feel the Lord just really wanting to reach the depths of your heart with this word, and it's just burning inside of me. And the word is undone. And I see like these, it's a ribbon, and he wants to pull it open and just undo it. So whatever it is that the lies of the enemy through your past or your history, the pains, the troubles, the circumstances that the enemy has thrown at you, and he's brought these lies into your heart about yourself, your identity, who you are. The Lord says if you come to him, he will just undo that. And he wants to set you free. He wants to give you the confidence that you need. He wants you to receive the love that he wants to give to you. Don't resist it. Just surrender to him. Don't be shy. He wants you to be bold, but he just wants to undo those lies and set you free today.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Wendy. Thank you, Jesus. I believe both those words really, they partner. They're, you know, and often when God's at work, he says the same thing in slightly different ways to confirm that it's from him, which is really beautiful. I love that I didn't share what chapter I was kind of working from or preaching from this morning. Laura spoke the Lord's Prayer, and she also spoke one of the other scriptures that I'm using this morning, which, again, I love that confirmation. Just going to just talk through a couple of aspects of Luke 11. This is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, and it's beautiful that, Laura, that you were listening as well and you led us through this. Jesus, teaching his disciples, says this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Luke's version doesn't have the section on Matthew, which is let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Has the may your kingdom come soon, but doesn't have the other two lines. Give us today our food we need, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation. And just as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, when we're praying, we're asking the Father to establish his kingdom here in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our community. So his righteousness, justice, peace, boy, doesn't our world need the kingdom? Doesn't our world need the righteousness, justice and peace of the King to be enthroned right now? There's so much strife, so much grief, so much loss. There's so much need for the King to come with his kingdom. And that the next chapter in Luke, as I was thinking, you know, God's not reluctant to let his kingdom come. We're not here begging, because in the very next chapter, Luke chapter 12, Jesus says to his disciples, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which is another section that Laura read. So as we pray this prayer, as we pray, let's not be thinking God's holding out on us. He is delighted to let his kingdom be increasingly seen in our lives. Everywhere the King is, everywhere he gets to reign is his kingdom. If he gets to reign over my finances, that's his kingdom. If he gets to reign over my relationships, how I forgive, that's his kingdom. If he gets to reign over my sexuality, that's his kingdom. If he gets to reign over my career, my choices, what I do with my time, that's his kingdom. Wherever the King gets to reign is his kingdom. So when we pray, let your kingdom come, we're inviting him to start with us and to then go out from us. The second thing that I notice as I go through Luke, and I've never tied these ones together particularly, but just a little while on from teaching the disciples to pray this prayer, Jesus goes on and teaches them more about prayer, and he tells them to ask and keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and that the door will be opened. That's such an encouragement. The kingdom will come. Why? Because God said, when you keep on asking, I will do it. That's such an encouragement. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? They ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The kingdom of God is so related to Holy Spirit. We can't have the rule of Jesus in our lives apart from the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit. And he comes and presences himself in our lives. Paul wrote in Ephesians, I know, must have been Romans 14, I think it is, the kingdom of God, 15. The kingdom of God isn't a matter of eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. So if you desire more of the kingdom in your life, if you desire more of the king's reign in your life, if I desire more of Jesus to be reigning in my life, that is an invitation for me to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. We are so dependent on Holy Spirit. And as often in Christendom, there's been a fear of the Holy Spirit. There's been a reluctance to think, I don't want to be out of my comfort zone or out of control, or, I don't want God to ask me to do anything embarrassing or uncomfortable. If God is genuinely reigning in our life, it will be through Holy Spirit. And there is an invitation for each of us to be intentionally asking Father for Holy Spirit to be more and more ruling and reigning in our lives. Does that make sense? Because the reign of Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. So those two really go together, the coming of the kingdom and the presence of the Spirit. And the third thing that I notice, just together all in this chapter 11 of Luke, can I encourage you to go and have some time in chapter 11? Because I feel like we want to do more ministry than teaching this morning. So I just want to do this briefly. There's a section here where this is like a demonstration of what happens when the kingdom comes. This is like, this is kingdom 101 in Jesus' world. This is what happens when the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God, invades the work of the enemy. They bring to Jesus, Jesus casts out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. That's what happens when the kingdom of God comes and invades human suffering. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Others tried to test Jesus, demand that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Jesus knows their thoughts, so he says, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. You say, I'm empowered by Satan, but if Satan's divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom survive? And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they'll condemn you for what you've said. But if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons and carries off his belongings. And that is just what Jesus has done with the mute man. He's overpowered the enemy who was keeping him mute, stripped him of his power and carried off the plunder, which was that man's life, now redeemed, now set free. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. And then he goes on, just that last section. As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, the breasts that nursed you. And Jesus replies, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And I just felt like in this story, there is just a really practical demonstration of what it looks like, what we're asking for when we say, let your kingdom come. We're asking for the sick to be healed. We're asking for the demonized to be set free. We're asking for the lies to be broken off our lives, off our minds, off our hearts. We're asking for the alignment of everything with the truth of God's kingdom. Because when we meet Jesus, when we truly meet him, everything changes. Everything changes. There's three responses that I saw in that passage, and I'm going to finish with this. There's the ones who said, who saw the mute man speak and who said, that's a demon. Jesus is doing that by the power of demons. Response number one is to reject Jesus. That's not God. That couldn't, you know. Response number two, there was others who said, show us a sign. We want more. We want more. We don't really believe. We've just seen a mute man talk, but we want more. Show us a sign, Jesus. There's unbelief. So there's rejection. Not for me. There's unbelief. Yeah, I just need a bit more. Thanks. And there's this last one. Even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. The ones who say, yes, that's for me. And I feel like today there's just a really, really clear call for us to be decisive, because Jesus leaves no room for us to be neutral and say, oh, well, look, I'll decide something later. You know what he said? He said, if you're not for me, you're against me. There's no neutral place. You actually have to make a decision. And I feel like today there's a decision we have to make. Are we going to be the people who hear the word of God and put it into practice? Or are we going to be the people who say, oh, I need more to convince me, or no, Jesus isn't for me? And there's all three of those responses are in that passage. But for each of us, I feel like today the invitation is to say, Jesus, I want to be one who hears your word and puts it into practice, even if it's costly. So I felt in ministry today that there are some impossibilities that need to shift. Because when kingdom of heaven meets earth, impossibilities shift. And I want you to take a moment and ask God to bring to the front of your mind an impossibility, something you've thought would not shift. Maybe something you've prayed about for a long time, or maybe something that you've just haven't even prayed about because you thought, huh, God's not interested in that, or God couldn't do that. Maybe it's a family member coming to faith. Maybe it's a physical sickness that needs to shift from you or someone you love. But I'm just declaring, I believe that Jesus is here today to shift impossibilities. And if you have an impossibility that you would like Jesus to shift today, then I'm just inviting you to stand with that impossibility on your heart. Just stand. If there's an impossibility in your world that you need the presence of Jesus to intervene, and I'm standing today because there's some impossibilities in my life. We're going to do something. We're going to make a declaration. I'm told that the Greek way that the words are put in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray is the on earth as it is in heaven belongs to all of those three phrases ahead of it. So I'm just going to speak that out. I'm going to invite you to repeat after me, because this is how I believe that the people who heard it would have understood it. May your name be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. May your name be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I'm going to ask, I'm going to ask for each of you who want to encounter the kingdom of God breaking into your circumstances. I'm just going to ask you, if you're able to do this without physical pain, I'm going to ask you to just kneel as a sign of just submitting to the rule of the King in this area of your life and trusting and handing over this aspect and just acknowledging once again, Jesus, that you are the rightful King, and we're bringing our impossibilities to you. Come, Holy Spirit. And just, Jesus, would you come and meet each person here? Would you come and bring breakthrough to every impossibility? Would you let your kingdom come and your will be done across every impossibility that we bring? Because your word says nothing is impossible with you. Open our ears to hear your Rhema word. I believe that God is going to speak a Rhema word over every impossibility we bring to him today. Just open your ears to hear what he's saying. Now just speak that word out. If you heard a word from God, for me, I heard the person I was praying for, I heard their name and I heard will be saved after their name. So just speak out whatever word you heard in agreement with what you felt like the Father was saying to you this morning. It's something that happens when we speak it out. Don't just say it in your head, speak it out. Can I really encourage you? There's something about the spoken word that just carries power. Jesus spoke the worlds into being. And there's such power in agreement. Jesus said, when two or more of you agree on anything on earth, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So we're going to find places of agreement now. You might find someone who agrees with you. You might be a husband and wife praying together and agreeing over the salvation of your children. You might be someone who needs someone to agree with you over your physical healing or over breakthrough that needs to happen in your life or in some other area. Just find someone. Come and have prayer at the front or whatever. Or find someone alongside you who can agree with you and begin to pray prayers of agreement, because I believe there is breakthrough and that impossibilities are shifting as we encounter the presence of Jesus and partner with him to see his kingdom come and his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be so, Jesus. And everyone who agreed said, amen, amen. So find someone to partner with, share with them what you heard from God, and begin to pray and declare agreement over it. This is the end of our service, but it's actually the beginning of our service, because God's in the business of bringing incredible breakthrough, and some people need to make decisions today about being those who will hear the word of God and put it in practice. And if you know that's you, make sure you get agreement with somebody today.